This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We're back with hour number two of Ron Segi Today, live all across the USA and around the world. And on our show this hour is author Sean Levy. Now, coming up on August 20th will be the anniversary of the passing of the legendary comedian Jerry Lewis. He died at 91 years old. And Sean Levy has penned a book about him. And it's complimentary and not so complimentary. It's kind of a controversial book, but very interesting. And Sean will be here to talk about it. Favorite of mine, comedian Jeff Allen, will join us on the show. And then we will chat about the housing boom. Is it good or bad? With Courtney Cachet. And that's all coming up this hour with Ron Segi Today.
America is under attack, and we need you to take action now. Our history, culture, constitution, and the American way of life are being assaulted. Violent anarchists are rioting and looting in cities across the country. They are demanding the defunding of our police and an end to law and order. There has never been a more critical time to defend our right to keep and bear arms. The Second Amendment Foundation created the Second Amendment First Responders Program. This program seeks to actively engage Americans who want to protect our Second Amendment rights. Please text PROTECT 2A to 474747 and become a Second Amendment first responder. Now is the time to defend our right to keep and bear arms. Text PROTECT 2A to 474747. Again, text PROTECT 2A to 474747. Now is the time to defend our right to keep and bear arms. Text PROTECT 2A to 474747.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced with HSC's home warranty coverage. Call now, and the first month is free. If the lines are busy, please call back.
Call now, 800-238-9182, 800-238-9182, 800-238-9182. Again, that's 800-238-9182.
We are back live all across the USA and around the world. You're listening to Ron Segi Today. And this week on the show, we are going to remember comedian Jerry Lewis. Now, a lot of people love Jerry, and then he had those people that didn't quite like him that much. But we're going to talk about it in this book that is penned by our next guest. And this coming August 20th will mark the fourth anniversary of Jerry Lewis's passing. Joining us right now, the author of King of Comedy, The Life and Art of Jerry Lewis, is Sean Levy. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Hi. How are you guys?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. It's been 21 years since you wrote this book, has it not?
Yeah, it came out in 1996.
Since then, you've written books about Robert De Niro, The Rat Pack, Paul Newman. I understand now it's available where you can read it online. Is that correct, Sean?
Yeah. Strangely, it was not an e-book until last year.
Wow.
It was around the 20th anniversary. The book was written long enough ago that e-books weren't in the contract.
Let's start off by this, okay? You did an enormous amount of research even before you met Jerry Lewis. Now, there is a very surprise ending to this that we'll talk about later. But the book starts out very, very complimentary, talking about what he has accomplished, his impact, entertainment in the world, and then it kind of deteriorates from there. But you did a lot of research, and now you wanted to talk to him personally. How did you make that initial step to meet a man who was very difficult to meet on a good day?
Well, I wrote him a letter, put it in the mail. It was 1993, I believe, when I started working on the book. And I had email, but very few people did. And I got an address for him, and I wrote him a letter. And one day I was on the phone talking to someone, and call waiting. Remember call waiting?
Oh, yeah.
Through, and
yeah.
I click on the button, and on the other line is Jerry Lewis. And we started having conversations and a couple of meetings pursuant to that phone call.
Now, was he receptive to your call? Was he receptive to talking to you further about the project? Because he wasn't very receptive to people the first time around, because he was always on guard, using him for reasons that he wasn't particularly fond of.
I think he was receptive. I mean, he reached out to me. He could have ignored my letter.
Sure.
And he invited me to meet him, and he made reference materials available. He told people who checked with him that it was okay to talk with me, that I was, you know, a good egg.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, he was suspicious, on guard, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also, you know, I presented it to him as, I am going to write this book, whether you participate or not, but it would be a better book if you participated. So I think at some level he wanted to, you know, have some control in the process.
And this really started off as a very good relationship, going as far as not only being nice to you, but making sure that he was nice to your mother during his concerts. He'd want to talk to her, was proud to talk about the relationship he had with you to your mother, which made her proud. I mean, this started off as a real good chemistry between you and he, which was very unusual for him with another person. But it didn't end up that way, did it?
No. You know, we had two long meetings on his yacht in San Diego. His primary home was Las Vegas, but he kept a large boat in a basin in San Diego, and that's where I visited him. And after the first one, we really were collaborating in a sense. It's difficult to say what he expected of me, because I think he was, you know, it was sort of like a poker game, and he had cards and I had cards, and I didn't know him really well at that point. But he, as I say, he was cooperative. He was, you know, he literally mailed things to my home that I could use, you know, Xeroxed materials. He was great. The second meeting was almost the exact opposite. From the time I arrived at the boat, he was edgy. He made insinuations about me. And then after about an hour and a half, I asked a question that lit him up. And suddenly I was sort of, you know, I had in my face a screaming, you know, drill sergeant or, you know, football coach. Frankly, I grew up in New York City. I'm used to a lot of aggression. I'd never seen anything like this, you know, not on screen. And it was incredible, because here's this guy, this legend, someone I grew up watching on TV, yelling in my face with a big red face. And I left after that, and we had a couple of other encounters. But I recounted all of this in the epilogue to the book because it seemed only fair. You know, I did so much research, and unfortunately, this was one of those lives where the more you learned, the ickier it got.
Mm-hmm.
And you would come across things that I couldn't say in 1996 when he was alive that I could say now that are really hair-raising behaviors and statements and, you know, major life choices that he made that, for legal reasons, we couldn't talk about at the time. And as I learned these things, you know, the book took on a darker and darker tone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was obliged to tell the true story as I discovered it. And unfortunately, the more truth I discovered, the more, you know, the best things about Jerry were kind of well known. His charitable work, his great film career, things of that nature. But the darker side was not really revealed. And I had the kind of mixed blessing of being the guy who revealed a lot of it.
Sean, did you walk away liking the man? Because, well, I have my own feelings about that, and I'll express them. But did you walk away liking him?
You know, I grew to admire him, but I found him unlikable. I found him, he was hard on people close to him. I mean, I don't even have to explain my own feelings. When, after he passed, when his will was filed in probate court in Clark County, Nevada. It was revealed that he disinherited five of his six children. All of his sons from his first marriage got nothing from his many millions of dollars estate. And I'm a parent, and, you know, I had parents, and you wonder what happens in someone's life and in their heart and mind to make them like that. He's not necessarily the easiest guy to like.
Is it, I guess, accurate to say that his worst enemy was him? I mean, here's a man who had an unusual relationship with his own father. His father was very domineering and wasn't very complimentary to him. As you mentioned, he disowned five sons, and I mean disowned them. I mean, it was unbelievable what you said in their relationship and stuff. He seems to be a very vindictive, mean person, and what I never understood is that with all of the problems that he was the cause of in his career, how he still maintained to be a player in the industry with everybody in the right positions knowing that if they hired him, he was going to be a pain in the neck.
You know, we can talk about him being a player in the industry, but after 1970, he only performed in about five or six theatrical films. That's 47 years.
Yeah, that's true.
So the bulk of his work was done in the first quarter century of his career. And then after that, I mean, he would make appearances, and there were, you know, a handful of films in which he had important roles. King of Comedy, the Martin Scorsese film, a film that was just released last year called Max Rose, in which he plays an elderly widower who learns his late wife's secrets. But, you know, people did stay away from him. I have a quote from someone in the entertainment business who told me that that guy has three sets of teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And he was difficult. He burned a lot of bridges. And he stopped being a moneymaker.
Yeah.
His style, you know, times changed. And his type of comedy, what he did, was no longer attractive to audiences. And, you know, you can be a pain in the neck to people if you know, you're selling tickets, but when the ticket sales stop and all they have is a pain in the neck who costs them more than he earns them, you're not going to get work. It's a pretty simple formula.
We're going to pause for a second, Sean. Our guest is Sean Levy. The name of his book is King of Comedy. It was written 21 years ago. It's now available, though, online to read. You have to read this, whether you are or are not a Jerry Lewis fan, because it's a fascinating profile of a very complicated entertainer. And the author tells it, warts and all. It's very well written. It's amazing, in fact. And we will be talking more about this legend when we return in just a couple of seconds. As we mentioned in the introduction, this coming August 20th will mark the fourth anniversary of the passing of Jerry Lewis. He was 91 at the time of his death. And Sean Levy and myself will be back with more nationwide and around the world. You're listening to Ron Segi Today.
Rock-a-bye, your baby with a Dixie melody.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders. And now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
We are back live all across the USA and around the world for our second portion of our interview with Sean Levy, whose first book was King of Comedy, which came out about 21 years ago. It's available now on e-books. And we're talking about the life and times of Jerry Lewis. And next month, August 14th, will mark the fourth anniversary of his passing. Sometimes we forget about all the money added up for MDA. Ed McMahon and I were best friends and partners for many, many, many years. I toured with Ed. We did radio shows together. He, like, a member of my family. And when he passed away, the McMahon family asked me to join them at the MDA telethon that year. He died in June. This was in September, because Jerry was going to pay tribute to him. I was so disgusted with his tribute that the family actually walked out. I stayed there because his only tribute was, well, I want to remember my buddy Ed McMahon, who's probably up in heaven drinking or drunk by now. That was it. That same telethon, he brought the poster girl up and said to her, as she sat on his lap with steel on both legs, "Nice gams." And then he, in front of an audience filled with kids, used a four-letter word between the break. I don't understand how he maintained a presence with that kind of arrogance. I really don't, Sean.
Yeah, we're learning more about how to say this. Men of his generation and the behavior that they took for granted is becoming more and more exposed and decried in our culture. I mean, I think that, you know, when you're the funny guy and you can get away with a little bit more, in Jerry there was always this desire to be acknowledged and appreciated and respected and loved, because he felt like he had none of that as a child. And talk to him about it. He was a funny guy. He was a big shot. He did come from a culture where, you know, speaking, you know, coarsely wasn't as penalized as it is today, and he was deeply insecure and thin-skinned. So you put all that together, and you get a guy who behaves as you just described.
Here's the thing that really got me about this. You talk about having friends. If you had a true friend, somewhere along the line, somebody would come up to you and say, "Hey, Jerry, you're not bankable anymore. You better change your attitude, because nobody wants to get near you." And nobody apparently had the guts to do that. I mean, when you're at the top of the mountain, or you are perceived to be at the top of the mountain, because he really wasn't in the last few years, then I think knowing that you have somebody who's going to fly off the handle in a New York heartbeat, they're afraid to do that. The ABC television show, which was done at the El Capitan Theater, which he bought, was a fiasco. It failed. Then NBC, in their infinite wisdom, picked up a show much like the ABC show, not learning any lessons from ABC and Jerry's failing there. I understand perseverance on behalf of the talent, but I don't understand the satellite people around him that kept on giving him these second breaks. I mean, tell the story about his refusal to rehearse with Lynn Redgrave and what he did in the middle of a play on Broadway during intermission by refusing to go back onto the second act when the audience was full.
It was the late 70s, and he, you know, his film career had pretty much evaporated. So he was on Broadway. He, Hell's a Poppin', a revival of kind of like vaudeville burlesque, you know, not the striptease burlesque, but the old-fashioned variety show.
Right.
And someone thought, hey, let's do Hell's a Poppin', which was a popular variety show in the 30s. And they got Jerry and they got Lynn Redgrave. Lynn Redgrave is a proper actress. You know, she comes from a family that's one of the great acting dynasties in the English language. And she had, you know, standards of comportment on the stage and in preparation and rehearsal and things like this. And Jerry would have none of it. And he was openly abusive to her, verbally, physically dismissive, undermining her, you know, cues and things like this. It was a fiasco, and it didn't last very long on stage either, because in the late 1970s, Jerry was just not funny, not in his life, his work. Audiences didn't want to see it.
He made a threat that he wasn't going to go on because of that situation. The MDA Telethon, now he is, of course, reverend for raising all that money. I always used to say that if somebody was hosting that show that the general public really felt close to, like a Johnny Carson, they could probably raise twice as much. He was only recognized in the latter years in France. He had an ongoing feud with Bing Crosby one time because Bing thought he was going to pull a hairpiece off of his head during a appearance in Vegas. He fired Judy Campbell, which of course was Sam Giancana's girlfriend. And he had a radio station that he bought that he had a studio in his home so he could interrupt the talent at any time to, you know, go on and on and on. His drug use, his very outgoing womanizing, embarrassing his wife Patty at every juncture, ignoring his sons, spoke volumes of the man. Did you happen to see, by any chance, Sean, one of the last interviews he did that was posted on YouTube that was done by probably a very small entertainment show, and how he treated that reporter?
That wasn't a small entertainment show. That was Variety Magazine.
Oh, was it really? Okay, I never...
Yeah.
Jeez, oh man.
He basically cold-shouldered the guy and gave him one-word answers. But I have to say, that was a terrible interview. They did a series of interviews with entertainment people who'd reached their 90s, Betty White, Norman Lear, Jerry among them, Dick Van Dyke. The questions were terrible.
Yes,
questions,
they were.
The first question was basically like, so you haven't died yet, what's that like? But the other people, you know, those interviews were posted as well, and they found graceful or funny or patient ways to deal with kind of a dumb reporter. The other person could say, you know what, you're an impolite jerk, and there's your standoff.
You know, my wife got a job offer from him one time while she was married to me, and when she told him that I'm Ed McMahon's partner and she works in my company, he reneged on the proposal, which Ed said was probably the best career move you made, Claudia. I mentioned to you in the break that I could talk to you for hours about this. I'm sure somebody's listening to me right now saying, geez, oh man, why would you want to talk about Jerry Lewis? It doesn't seem like you're a fan of his. As a child, my father being Italian, he was mad at Jerry Lewis, and I told this to Dino Martin one time because all he kept doing was interrupting Dean Martin, that nice Italian boy that sang That's Amore, you know? So he didn't like him from the start. I just didn't understand his talent, and I didn't understand his personal life and how arrogant he was when things were not going well. You know, when things go bad, Sean, you kind of be nice to people, you know? He wasn't. And you bring that out in this book. That ending that you do on the boat is absolutely phenomenal. I didn't expect that. It's like an Alfred Hitchcock movie. You didn't see it coming.
I've had it quoted back to me by Steve Martin, Penn Jillette, Harry Shearer. Tom Hanks once told me that he was out to dinner with Martin Short and Paul Reiser, and Marty Short spent the dinner doing an impression of, you know, mature Jerry, not stage, not, hey, lady, not that Jerry, but the telethon Jerry, doing impressions of that Jerry throwing me off the boat all night and had them in stitches. I was at Sundance Film Festival and met Harry Shearer. You know, I said, I interviewed you for my book on Jerry Lewis. And he turns to his wife and says, honey, this is the guy Jerry Lewis threw off the boat.
What a legacy you have, Sean. Very seldom in this entertainment industry do I pursue people to be on the air with me. They kind of come and say, hey, can we be on your show? I pursued you. You tell it like it is about somebody that probably, up to the time of his death, was afraid to tell it like it is.
Well, thank you so much. And 21 years is true interest in the subject.
Yeah,
so
really.
I appreciate it.
Yes, it's been Sean Levy. He's penned a book called The King of Comedy, The Life and Art of Jerry Lewis. Even though it's 21 years old, it's available on ebook. And there's more to come with Ron Segi today.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number. alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this, or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Millions of people are under excessive heat alerts as another heat wave sweeps through the western United States. High heat warnings stretching from California to Idaho, with forecasters expecting several record high temperatures to be set over the weekend. Dozens of wildfires are also burning, with a large pair of fires scorching through thousands of acres near the Northern California-Nevada border. The Beckwith Complex fire has burned through more than 50,000 acres so far. Officials said Saturday afternoon that the blaze was only 9% contained. And the confirmed death toll from the Florida condominium collapse has risen to 86, with 43 people still unaccounted for as recovery operations entered their 17th day. A safety review of buildings in the area prompted by the collapse has closed the Miami-Dade County Courthouse. County leaders say the building will begin undergoing emergency repairs after an engineer's report recommended that floors 16 and above in the 28-floor structure be closed. This is USA Radio News.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately, with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. That's 800-475-0092.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA and around the world, it's Ron Sedgy today. Last year was the first time that we had our next guest with us, and then I started watching him on television. He was on Huckabee not too long ago, and then his YouTube.
This guy is hilarious, and I'm his biggest fan, and he's gotten millions of them. Joining us right now is Jeff Allen. Hi, Jeff. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for dropping the charges and letting me come back to your fine show, man.
Yeah, I know. I didn't think they were fair anyway. And, you know, there's a statute of limitations. Why screw up your career? You know what I'm saying? After I talked to you the last time, I think it was last year, I started watching you on the videos that are all over. And my wife says, you saw that bit before. I say, I know. You do a lot of stuff with marriage, a lot of stuff with teenagers. I love the fact that your son comes to you and says, hey, I want to buy a truck. And how much you got? He said, I got about a buck and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, this is funny stuff, Jeff. Really, you're terrific.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
This didn't always go this well, did it not? I mean, you started off back in the 70s with some blue humor, and when you found out that really doesn't pay as well as you wanted it to pay, and you kind of got off the beaten path there for a while, did you not?
Well, I had to find my way, you know, and I started out like a lot of entertainers, you know, you just want to be somebody else, you know, and I listened to George Carlin and Cosby and kind of modeled myself. I wanted to be Richard Pryor back in 1978.
But you're white.
I know. Well, that's why it was easy, because nobody knew I was doing Richard Pryor. One, I'm a bad impersonator, so... But that's what I wanted to be, and I used the language, and I tried to do. I'm a white suburban kid, and I was trying to do urban references and things. So anyway, it took me a while to find my way. You know, Shakespeare said, "To thine own self be true." Probably in my late 30s, I realized that you know, you can only talk about what you know, and I was steeped into my marriage and my kids, and that's kind of what my life was. So I just started kind of talking about them, and then I realized I was too dirty to be clean and too clean to be dirty.
Right.
So I had to go one way or the other. So I decided to see if I could clean the entire thing up, and I paid my kid 25 cents for every foul word he heard come out of my mouth, and it was breaking me. So you know, you start handing your kid over, you know, 20 quarters a week or whatever it was. And then you get called into school because your kid uses the language.
Right.
And, you know, I remember telling the teacher, I'd love to look you in the eye with all seriousness and tell you I have no idea where that child heard that kind of language. But that's the way we talked at home. We were trying to change. So, we changed a lot of things. And then we came to our faith along the way. And it just seemed to line up and fit. And I'm having the time of my life at 62 years old. I'm just really, really, after 40 years in this business, I know who I am. I know what I'm doing. And I've got some skills. I'm just having a blast meeting people. The show we're doing now, The America I Grew Up In, we're getting three generations of people out to see it. The grandparents, the parents, and the kids, and they're all enjoying it. You know, I don't know about you, Ron, but when I was a kid, we didn't have comedy shows to go to as a family. We ended up going to the Ice Capades because everybody hated it equally. You know, we'd be complaining on the way to the car. Why do we got to go to ice skating? Shut up. Your mother wants to meet the America's sweetheart, Dorothy Hamill. Who doesn't like Dorothy Hamill? Shut up. Get in the car. You know, 3 hours of watching ice skate, freezing. In a comedy show, you can come out. There's heat. And then in the summer, there's air conditioning and great food, and then you laugh a lot.
Well, you know,
pretty cool.
You talk about finding yourself and finding the religion and so on and so forth. I mean, it's no secret that drugs and alcohol played a role in your early life, but the experiences that you talk about, the wide demographic of range when it comes to the different ages, it's everything that is relatable, unless, of course, you're maybe 30 and under, okay? But everything is relatable. I mean, you talk about the helmet that the kids wear today to ride a bike. Now, that's an important thing, but, you know, if you did it when we were young, you're right. Kids would throw stones and call us a dork.
Well, I was talking to my wife the other day. I said, were you forced to sit in a seatbelt? She goes, no, I walked the back seat of my mom's car.
I know.
And we would literally walk around in the back seat while my parents drove. And now I'm going to get a hernia hauling my 57-pound granddaughter in and out of the car seat. And it was funny because the government just came out with a stat that they recommend any 4'9" or under should be in a booster seat. And I said to my wife, I go, the entire U.S. Olympic women's gymnastic team will have to be in booster seats on the way to the gym.
There's not a horse jockey in the world that wouldn't be able to have
it. There's another one. There's another profession. Horse jockeys have to be riding in a booster seat, driving their BMWs on the way to the track.
Here's a guy that just won the Kentucky Derby, and he's got to be strapped into a kiddie
seat. Exactly. Hey, get your car seat, Willie. You know, Willie Shoemaker.
My son tells calls me and says, do you want to take the kids out to the zoo? I said, no. I said, why? I said, because I don't have time to hook up all the apparatus, for crying out loud.
That's it.
And the other part was when you got pulled over by the police because your granddaughter was in the sun in the back street.
In the sunshine. I know.
Yeah. Is that,
yeah. And I said, you know, I spent sunscreen. We had dirt. That was our sunscreen. Dirt. Sweat and dirt. You know?
I love it. Now, the other bit that I love that you do is when your son wants to buy a truck. Tell that story. That is hilarious, Jeff.
Well, that was a true story. He was looking through the paper. He had just gotten his driver's license. That was another thing. When he had his learner's permit, we let him drive us to church on Sunday. That way we got our prayer time in before we got there. This kid was the worst driver. I can't believe the state of Tennessee gave him a driver's license, but he must have been good for about 5 minutes. So anyway, I noticed one day he's just peeling the Sunday paper apart. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for the truck I'm going to buy. And I go, you're going to buy. Do you have a job? He goes, you know, like, what? I don't need a job. I said, you got any money? I mean, he's looking at trucks like $32,000,
right.
Brand new trucks. So anyway, I said, you got any money? And he goes, I got a little. I go, well, go get it. So anyway, he comes out of the bedroom with about $8 in a Folgers can, and he's looking at $32,000 trucks, and I started doing 8 into 32. I said, well, that explains all the math problems you've had for the last 12 years. So, but I wasn't going to, I don't care. I'll take him to a car dealer. What better lesson can you give a kid on economics than just let him get into the real world? So bring him down to the car dealer, and of course, you know, they laugh him out of the place. They look at me, you're going to co-sign? I go, no, I just wanted him to fill out an application.
Let him find out for himself.
At 16 with $8 worth of assets, you know, can't believe they didn't sell you the truck, man. Expecting you to have a job, employment, money, you know.
Let him figure it out. You've done a lot of things. The Comedy Central's Premium Blend, stand-up spotlight on VH1, Apostles of Comedy, a great acclaimed film, Happy Wife, Happy Life, that one-hour comedy special did. Huckabee is a cool guy. They had one of the camera shots on you, and it was focusing in him on the background, and he was dying. I mean, you know,
right. It's
just funny stuff, Jeff. I don't know how to say. You know, there's a lot of comedians that go out there. This Sebastian fella is real hot right now.
Right.
And he's got a lot of ethnic humor. But the stuff that you do and the facial expressions and the timing and the quick draw, it's a great show. I mean, you're doing a hell of a job, my friend.
Thank you. Yeah, we're getting good reviews, and the people that are coming are really digging it. And it's 99.9% politics free. I think if you want politics, you can get it. It's so ubiquitous, you can watch it 24/7. And I just thought this would be a nice respite where families could come and not have to worry about language or just politics and people getting upset over all of that, you know.
Jeff, if you come to Orlando, you have our contact information. You got to let me
know. Absolutely.
Okay. Even if it's just to come here and vacation, I'd love to break bread with you. You're a funny guy, and
cool. Thank you.
I got to tell you something. I hope that you do this for a long, long time because you put a lot of smiles on millions of people's faces. I'm one of them. I mean, I'm obsessed. There's two things. I tell you what I do. I go on YouTube and I watch the old Dean Martin clips with Foster Brooks and Jeff Allen.
I love Foster. You know what? My aunt saw Foster Brooks back in Kentucky before he was famous, and they introduced him as a Kentucky state legislator.
Oh, I saw that.
And he went up and did that drunk thing.
Yeah.
And she said it took about 5 to 10 minutes before people started whispering, I think he's drunk. I think he's drunk.
Yeah, you know, he's done that.
He was so subtle, so subtle, and not over the top. She said it was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. And within a half hour, he had them just falling out of their chairs, and they realized that it was a joke. 25 minutes to figure out it was a joke.
He's a heck of a singer, too. He had a great voice. He was a great singer.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He sang on the Tonight Show. He's a great voice. Well, again, it's JeffAllenComedy.com.
Check that's out. Right.
And, Jeff, don't be a stranger around here. I really enjoy when you're on the show with us. And you're a funny man. You know your art, and you know it well.
Thanks, Ron. We can't do it without you.
Well,
so I appreciate plugs and the kind words.
Thank
it really
you.
Means something.
Thank you, my friend. Keep them laughing. Jeff Allen, I'm telling you, this gentleman is hilarious. And go on YouTube. You'll know what I'm talking about.
Thank you, Ron. I had a blast.
No, thank you, Jeff. Hey, we're going to pause for a second. We're going to return. There's more live all across the USA and around the world. You're listening to Ron Segi Today.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at St. Jude.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hey, and around the world, you are listening to Ron Segi today. Well, it's no secret. If you turn on the radio, listen to the news on TV, read in the newspapers, you know that it's a very unique home buyer's market right now. According to the National Association of Home Builders, construction on single-family homes could exceed 1 million this year. The last time that occurred was back in 2007. Joining us right now is designer, lifestyle expert, Courtney Cachet. Hi, Courtney. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So interesting to me about these sales, because first I thought, great, I'm going to sell my house and make $1 bazillion. But then I never thought of the fact that I got to buy another one and pay $1 bazillion. What's going on here?
You have a point, but you have to remember that for the first time in 15 years, it's actually more affordable to buy a new home as opposed to a resale home. So you actually are not in such a bad spot, all right? But we're seeing a lot of trends, right? So personalization is popular. One of the reasons I partnered with KB Home, because they do that better than anyone else. You know, they're designed for the way we live today, right, Ron? You know, as opposed to an older home that you might have to remodel, a newly built home.
If you're in the market to buy a home and you want to buy a new home, mm-hmm. and I agree with that because I'm a classic car collector and I know what it's like to say, boy, that's really nice, and then spend a bazillion dollars on repairing it, okay? So I understand that remodeling mm-hmm. deal. But is it better to go in and buy a home that is already built, that's new, or start from scratch? I'm assuming that that's very subjective, but I could just imagine some of the arguments that my wife and I would have if we were building it, because there's a lot of decisions to be made vis-a-vis walking in and say, boy, this is pretty nice. I'm going to buy this turnkey, and it's brand new.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you that buying a newly built home, right off the bat, you're going to have something that's more energy efficient, okay? And you want to look for something that's Energy Star certified. And this is going to save you a lot of money on your utility bills. You know, older homes, they've got older windows. They've got different air filtration systems. So there's a health aspect to it. There's an energy aspect to it. And this is going to save you a lot of money. You want to look for water-efficient features, okay? Things like a water-sense faucet, okay? Something like that will further reduce those utility bills. And when you have an Energy Star certified home, you're looking at a cost savings of about $1,800 annually. So make sure you tell your wife that.
Well, and I would assume, too,
when you go looking for your new home, smart technology?
I would assume, you know, you're talking about smart technology. You have maybe double pane windows. You have better insulation into the walls and in the roof. You have the latest construction permits that allow to wind mitigation and so on and so forth. I mean, there is a ton of things in a new home that you'll never find in a home that you just bought that you got to start from scratch from the standpoint of remodeling it.
Absolutely. And, you know, things that we just had, you know, few and far between in years past are now considered standard, right? So we have thermostats that actually learn the temperature you prefer in every room of the home. We've got those door locks that you can open from anywhere in the world. That kind of smart technology that were just, you know, very few add-on extras are now standard. Also something to consider is a newly built home is going to have a better air quality, right? You're going to have better air quality, and that's going to make for a healthier home. And right now, a healthy home has never been more important to any of us here in the United States. Since we're spending about 90% of our time in these homes, we really are paying more attention to it. So, you know, I recommend that people just look for, you know, more eco-friendly options. So you can do this in your cabinetry, in your countertops, in your carpeting, even in your paint. And this is going to further improve that air quality and making just a healthier environment for everybody that lives there. What's more important than that?
Do you think that this pandemic has it made the importance of a home even more prevalent because people now realize that they've spent a lot of time in this home and they might be doing it in the future? That might be the way of working from home now after this pandemic. Do you think that sparked it a little bit?
Absolutely. I mean, it put people on the move, for starters. It put a healthy home and air quality at the forefront. We've also addressed the need for home offices, right? So this is something that, you know, we're spending a lot more time at home, not just living, but also in a work environment. And these are all things that we've addressed. So, yes, there's been a big impact. We've got a really active market. And the time has never been better to buy a new home because of all the low inventory in those resale homes.
What about construction? Is it better to have a block home or a stick home? I mean, I know being in Florida that there's a preference sometimes to a block home because of the termites that are in the state, okay? But what really is the better solution? Because my family residence, my homestead, which is in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. that house was built in 1912, all wood. But you want to know something? It has lasted to this very day because you don't have the elements. You have snow and everything else, but you don't have the elements up there that eat away at wood. What's better?
I know, I'm not sure if it's a matter of what's better or what's worse. I think it's a matter of geography, for starters, where you live. Every market is different. And in every market, the homes that we build would address the needs of each of those communities. And if you, and honestly, for more, the best information and a ton of it, would be available on kbhome.com.
Okay. I was just going to ask you, is that a good website to go to?
There's a lot of inspiration, and there's a lot of information that will address any and all of those questions, and that's at kbhome.com.
And that is a national company, because I think my son here in Orlando's first house was built by KB Homes.
Well, yes, indeed. It's a very big market for KB Home. I'm actually in Orlando as we speak.
Are you real? I'm in Orlando, too. Where are you?
I am. Well, we should have lunch.
Where are you right now? Are you right in the city? Because I'm right near Universal.
Oh, I am somewhere in Orlando. Oh, forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm from Miami. They just took me here in a car. I don't remember even exactly where I am. But I promise you, I'll meet you for lunch.
Okay. That sounds like it's my birthday today, so I'm going to take you up on that, okay?
Your birthday. Yeah. Well, happy birthday. Thank you so much for having me join you on your birthday.
Well, I wouldn't think of anyone else to be here on my birthday. Courtney Cachet is
my name. If I could sing, I would sing you happy birthday.
Well, I'll tell you what, don't do it because then we have to pay the royalties on it. So just
there you go. Exactly.
Courtney, thanks for joining us. Thank you.
Thank
for
you.
KB Homes is where you want to go.
Have a great day.
Courtney Cachet has been our guest. Home buying, wow, it is going through the roof, use a pun. And a quick reminder to accept our invitation to visit our website, which is ronsegi.com, ronsegi.com. When you get to that homepage, all you need to do is push one of the two gold buttons that says Archives, and you can hear one of the shows that have aired in the past, or the yellow one that says Current Show, and you can hear our latest show on demand 24/7. That's ronsegi.com. You're listening to Ron Segi Today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
It's my accident reinforced. You never know what tomorrow might bring. That's why I reached out to AccuQuote. AccuQuote helps people find a life insurance policy that meets their needs. Since 1986, they've helped millions of folks save up to 60% on their life insurance by comparing the rates and features of dozens of top-rated life insurance products. A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $45 a month. A 60-year-old under $120 a month. Longer or permanent terms are available. Even if you already own life insurance, you really need to check out my friends at AccuQuote. Don't worry about health issues. Remember, they help me. As a pastor, I'm concerned about your soul and helping you to make sure your family is taken care of. Life insurance is more affordable now than ever, so don't make them wish you'd made that call. 877-437-4781. Call now, 877-437-4781. 877-437-4781.
Each policy forms and availability vary by state.
That's a wrap with Ron Sedgy today. I want to thank you and all of our guests for being part of the past 2 hours. And our guests include singer-actor Paul Peterson, actress Stephanie Powers, travel expert Davy Sutton, author Sean Levy, comedian Jeff Allen, and housing boom expert Courtney Cachet. We'll be looking for your company come next week when we are going to do it again live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Sedgy today. Till then, I hope you have a great week, and I'm Ron Sedgy, wishing you blue skies and green lights.